Welcome to the podcast series from the National Centre for Research Methods at the University of Southampton. In today's podcast, Professor Charlene Hess-Biber from Boston College talks about why she thinks mixed methods research is a turbulent environment and why innovation is being stifled by a tightly bound concept of what it is.
As a mixed methods researcher and being involved in the field of mixed methods for almost a decade, I began to see a much more formalized talk about and very strict discourse around exactly what mixed methods was. It seemed as if the definition tended to get narrower and narrower. One of these, one qual and one quant, and you can't have two quals, you can't have two quants, it's not multi-methods. And I was thinking, something is going on here, because the Chicago School of Sociology, way back when, the 1920s, and early on in the field, in my own field, people were mixing methods all the time. There wasn't this formalized discussion until late 80s, 90s, and more of the field over the last several decades has become what I call more formalized.
So how would you explain and describe this thing that you call the thingness problem?
I began to go back to the early writings. For example, John Stuart Mill would say, we begin to see when abstract concepts and processes become objects outside of ourselves, they take attributes and powers almost surrounding them as in a mystical haze, he says. They become objects outside of us, and we give them life. This process that Wegener, many decades later, said, calls reification, is that we turn a construct into an object. And this experience of doing this congeals, he says, into a thingness. So we're treating mixed methods as if it's this thing that has attributes and life, and it becomes much more formalized, much more real to us. My thinking in that is the reification process of mixed methods becomes a thing. And then as we move from a less formalized way of thinking about putting methods together to a very strict set of diagrams and rules, what begins to happen to research? How do people think about using mixed methods? And what does the novice researcher think about all of this? And is this a good thing?
So you wanted to look at this idea of the thingness problem over the last couple of decades. How did you go about it?
I started out just looking at how the field became reified. What I noticed early on is people started talking about mixed methods as a methodological movement with its own guidelines. What seemed to me that was going on was this formalization of mixed methods into specific designs. The whole idea of mixing methods became, which design do I pick? The focus of our understanding of mixed methods became what I call very method-centric mixed methods. We had talk of the priority of the methods, the timing of the methods. So the meaning really was, and the question was, what design do I pick for mixed methods? Design as methods didn't have that wider meaning of linking the question with the methods. And it's interesting because even the design orientation said, well, you know, you have to take account, of course, the research problem. But then they quickly moved on to the design. So people gave lip service to the importance of linking question design. But really, if you look, very often there'd be talk of linking, I say, a theoretical perspective with a design that you're mixing. But that quickly got lost in some of the more popular mixed methods text, especially those for novice researcher. These textbook priorities became design-centered. Not all of them, but many of them. And that disturbed me a little bit.
So how would you say this thingness problem has impacted on mixed methods research? What issues and challenges does it throw up for researchers?
I had a call from someone in the medical field saying, Charlene, you know, I'm writing a proposal now and I'm all bent out of shape. Because, like, I don't know which one of these designs I should pick because it doesn't seem like my stuff fits any of them. And I said, well, that's a good thing. It should be. What do you want to know? Maybe it's none of these designs. But she says, don't I have to pick one of them? I said, what do you want to know? What's your question? Let's see. Maybe you don't need mixed methods. Maybe a mono method would be powerful. So there was this delinking in their mind between question, perspective question, and method. And Not that they didn't know that, but they got so caught up in design talk. I felt that it really tended to lose the focus that's critically important in anyone's research. What do you want to know?
So in your experience as a mixed methods teacher, how did this play out in the classroom?
It played out in the classroom on technique. It became a very empirical thing. I almost compare it to like RCT, you know. It doesn't matter. Let's throw RCT at it and the design will be fairy dust. It'll work. So it got us into this idea of method-centric thinking. Of course, then I went back to textbooks over the past years. I wanted to look at the most popular textbooks, the best-selling textbooks, across the disciplines. I took a convenient sample across the years, across disciplines. It's hard to say how representative it is, but I try to hit the big sellers across disciplines, and I kept on getting the same message. And it was that if you have two methods, two is better than one. One textbook says there's a synergy between qualitative and quantitative techniques. That is, using the approaches together yields more than the sum of the two approaches used independently.
So what was it that troubled you about this whole approach?
It's not just about method. People are focusing on method. What about perspectives, dual perspectives? We need to talk about what are you doing across the research process. You're asking different questions that maybe demand different perspectives and methods. See, but we talk about methods. It's always about methods. Let's mix them and we're going to get synergy.
So I guess at the heart of this debate, if you like, is does mixed methods produce better research? Do you have a view on that?
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm not saying that it doesn't, but we need evidence that it does. What is it about the mixing of methods? What is it about putting two methods together, a qual specifically and a quant, that will make for better research? You need to spell that out. You can't just say it's going to happen. And I think people know that at some level, but then it gets away from us. We have to have mixed methods. We have to then go back and say, what is it that you want to know? And what would adding another method, and I would say another question, to the mix, that might make for more complexity? Maybe the goal is not triangulation, although that's one goal, but maybe it's to gain complexity. And here, again, Jennifer Green and Valerie Caricelli are very cautious in stating early on what the potential was for doing so. They have enhancement, they have a range of reasons that are very sound, but nowhere in that discourse do they promise that if you do that, great things will happen. But this is the potential for it. See, that's different. That's different. That's being cautious about its usage and its promise.
So what have you learned on your mixed methods journey over the last two decades?
We have to begin to focus much more on the research process. I think we have to look at the entire process of research and firmly plant our understanding in the connection between the theory and the method, the questions and the method. We can't lose that link. That link is critically important. And I think we shouldn't be dogmatic in the kinds of ways that we go about doing this with specific four-type designs. The interesting thing, if you're a qualitatively driven mixed methods researcher, your design, when even if you use multiple and or mixed methods, it's going to be very iterative. You may not even know in the beginning that you need mixed methods. You may not know in the beginning that you need a different question also. It's like a spiraling effect. One question leads to another question. So this idea of templates and designs didn't quite fit the way in which a qualitatively driven researcher works. So you could say that even the early kinds of thinking about the thingness problem was a very quantitatively driven perspective on mixed methods, with kind of adding on the qual. I think we've come away from that now, but I still think it's still there.
Pressures come from elsewhere, though, don't they? I mean, I'm thinking, for example, of funders issuing guidelines on the type of research they might be looking for and the way in which they'd like it conducted.
Now, guidelines, NIH guidelines, say that you have to do these things. These are important. They don't say you have to. But the question is, it's from NIH, if you want to get funding, maybe you should have one of those designs. No one says that. But there's nothing wrong with having guidelines. But when they become prescriptive, we've got a problem. It shut down innovation in the field. I think we're in a turbulent environment with mixed methods. You know, some disciplines are just beginning to take up this idea in more detail, so that we need to move from this, what I'm seeing is a very tightly bound conceptualization of mixed methods, to a more loosely bound one that gives us some wiggle room to innovate. If we say it's this and it has to be this, that concerns me a great deal.
In your paper, you stress the importance of work across disciplines. Why are you such an advocate of this?
Crossing divides can be very innovative. Pushing on those disciplinary boundaries, de-disciplining the way we go about doing things to really tackle complex questions across the disciplines. We tend to think in silos. And I think what mixed methods will allow us to do, for me, the potential promise, is that route. I think that eventually we'll develop these skills and have them both. But if you try to do them both and you don't have the necessary training, you can run into trouble very, very quickly. Students can run into trouble. You know, if you're quant and you don't know qual, maybe you think it's sprinkling on, as one of my colleagues said, sprinkling on qual onto what is essentially a quantitatively driven study. And that's not what qualitatively driven research or qualitative research was meant to be. It's not adding and stirring. And I'd say the same with quantitatively driven research. So I think within that design orientation, we need to build in the linking of theory and method.
The Thingness Problem of Mixed Methods Research is a key lecture being presented by Charlene Hess-Biber at this year's ESRC Research Methods Festival in July. More information is available on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.